begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, May 12th, 2014. It's a little after 6 p.m. Would you please take a moment to review your meetings from the April 28th Finance Committee meeting?
10 minutes look good to me.
Okay.
Good.
Now we'll move on. Actually, we're going to have FQC is here with us this evening, John Alejandro and Jack Hayes. And they are going, I wanted to move the Churchill site work up first so that we have plenty of time to talk about
that. I think that's a good idea because then these guys can run out and get a bite to eat. Right?
Yeah. Get us something.
Yes. Okay, so FQC,
a bag of almonds.
Okay.
Okay. I wasn't that orange juice. This is looking real good.
On Wednesday last week, we got bids, received bids for three trade packages for the work at Churchill. This is the site work in preparation for the construction of the addition. There's a package for earthwork and site utilities, a package for asphalt paving, and a package for landscaping. The earthwork package, earthwork and site utilities, we received 8 bids. The low bidder, Plainfield Grading and Excavation. During our scope review, it became apparent that there was a drastic difference between their scope and what was required by the project. They made an error in their bid. They provided a letter to document that they had made an error and asked for release from honoring their bid and release from pursuing their payment or pursuing their bid bond. They did so in compliance with the guidelines that we provide in our bidding documents. There is in the instructions to bidders, there's a section that deals with those situations, and they complied with that situation. So the low rut responsible bidder is the second bidder, and that is S&K Trucking and Excavating. Their price was $994,900. That's the base contract work. We had accepted an alternate price or taken an alternate price to switch the material on the pipe from concrete pipe to plastic pipe in the anticipation there might potentially be a cost savings there. The actual bid results are the opposite. The plastic pipe turns out to be bid as more expensive than the concrete pipe. So our recommendation is that the work be awarded based on the base bid for concrete pipe to S&K Excavating.
It just doesn't make sense if that's cheaper. I mean, how is the concrete cheap?
Well, that's been a topic of heavy conversation over the last 2 weeks from a variety of people coming at us with that issue, and bid results tell the story.
Yeah.
And that's the thing we go off of. That's what we go off of, the bid results.
We do, but if you want to spend $1.4 million for the site, the plastic's less expensive. So the higher the bids got, the more expensive concrete was and the less expensive plastic was.
Interesting.
The lower bidders, the concrete was less expensive than plastic. Actually, I think it was just the second and third bidders that were. Plastic was less expensive.
And did the construction on the next, they're the ones who got the other earthwork. And this one, they were $276.
I wanted to mention something also. We have a resident of Glen Ellen that is supplies construction materials. In particular, he sells these underground stormwater detention systems. And we had the recommendation from our professional partners, meaning our engineers and FGM, was to put concrete vaults into this Churchill site, just as we have at Hadley. Well, this gentleman, what would you call it? He called us and
said,
"Lobby." He lobbied
really
for
hard to make sure we evaluated the plastic.
Good for him.
So we did at the last minute, went out, put an addendum out saying that we'd like a price on plastic tubing as a replacement, possible replacement for the concrete. And as a result, you can see that the price actually increased the project a little bit.
And is this storm deck? Or are we running a storm trap?
No, it's not. It's just pipe.
It's
60 inch concrete pipe perforated.
But it's actually a specialty pipe because it's perforated,
right?
Which is not. not a standard RCP product.
Do they do the same thing they do with the traps? Do they pour on the new facility down somewhere? Or
yep.
The
yep.
More, is it made more stupid?
Probably.
Yep. Yeah, but, you know, if you're getting concrete, well, how long do we have these schools for? 30 years or
50
so?
Years?
Well, we're going to replace them about once every 250 years.
Well, I'm going to go with concrete every time with that replacement. Right?
On the schedule, we're on today.
We're going to vote on that tonight.
I wanted you to spend 50 years. That's
I wanted you to be aware of that that's in case you get a call or an email or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Well, that goes to what we want to do, right? Try local, but
yeah, no,
it's not price competitive.
No, I mean, they have to meet the bids and all that.
And you know what? Matter of fact, we have another bid to come in this evening or last week from a local vendor and contractor, and his price was not the lowest bid either. So we're out there trying to attract local businesses. We were too.
It's got to be something with,
I was very surprised.
The specs for the other pipe must be a lot greater to put compaction or something around it that's driving the price up.
We
don't have to get into that. I just.
Yeah, I mean, we tried it six ways from Sunday, and even after the fact, the plastic pipe supplier came in to try to, you know, save the day, and, you know, you can't do that, but two, he basically was going to try to do it at cost just to make it work and show some savings, and I said, you can't do that, but even if you just show nominal savings, the engineer's still going to recommend concrete. If it was a couple hundred thousand, then we'd be talking a different.
Yeah, and that's an important part for people. The fact that this is underground,
important.
It's going to be down there forever, the way we keep our assets, which is great.
And we don't know what's going to happen with this site 20 years, 30 years from now. My thought is, you know, like we did at Hadley, we put this in for forever.
Yeah.
You know, that's the process that we plan
on putting them in forever.
And John, the recommendation by the engineer is, based off of the cost, you go concrete. It's the right thing to do.
He was pretty emphatic. He said, if we want a recommendation from him, it will be concrete. It will not be plastic.
Okay.
So,
thanks for doing that due diligence, though. I appreciate it.
The second bid package was paving, asphalt paving. We received five bids. The Ezra apparent low bidder was Professional Paving and Concrete of Glen Ellen. However, they made an error in their bid. They failed to include some concrete paving that's required, which is kind of like
concrete
sidewalk
bed?
Work. In the asphalt, well, it's asphalt and concrete, and they didn't pick up on the concrete.
They labeled it as an alternate.
They labeled it as an alternate and didn't include it in their base bid.
Awesome.
Their base bid is not correct, so we're making a recommendation that that their bid be waived and that the second bidder, Schroeder Asphalt of Huntley, be awarded the project. They did have the complete scope of work.
I spoke to Glen Ellen. He said, I understand, you know, that you're going with this. Really, you're going with the low bidder because now I'm second. He became second low if you tried to add him up. But anyways, he was fine. He's not.
So he was the gentleman who was lobbying you?
No, he was a pavement contractor. We called to make sure that he was okay with this confusion of his bid, and he's fine.
Okay.
The other guy was
he's a supplier.
He does work for you guys.
So we did have a conversation with him, though.
Yes.
Okay.
He's probably a salesman, actually. Go with the last one.
Okay. And then the last bid package is landscaping, so that we could stay perfect. The low bidder was Pedersen Landscaping of St. Charles.
By quite a bit.
Yeah. That's documented in the letter that's attached. They made several errors in the preparation of their bid. They missed a $10,000 allowance that was supposed to be included in their bid. And then they also missed the temporary irrigation to keep the project, to make the grass grow. And they missed an alternate, something that was added via the addenda, which is the TerraZorb for the soil, which is a special product to use to plant grass over the top of the vault because you've got a drainage medium between the grass and the vault. So you need the TerraZorb in order to get the grass to take. So they've asked for a release from their bid. In doing so, the low responsive bidder is Barry Landscaping of Lockport, and their price is $49,600. So we're recommending Barry Landscaping for that part of the work.
So one of the things I know that is near and dear to everybody's thoughts on this committee, especially where we at with regard to the budget.
Well, that's where I was about to scream out of you.
Nice job.
So I don't have a fully updated spreadsheet for you tonight. I will at the next board meeting so that you'll have it prior to when you vote to award these contracts. But basically, when you add up this total, it's
$1,087,940.
And which is on budget is what we're saying, is we're right on budget. And the reason that we're saying that is that the value of the earthwork portion of Churchill was all one big pot of money for both site and the building. And we just bid the site. So we're going to take the balance of that money and leave it with the building, because we have to build that site up 8 feet to build, you know, to make that pad ready for construction. So we have what we believe to be more than enough money to do that. But before we earmark that for contingency or savings or anything else, we're just going to leave it in Churchill because of the eventualities.
So when you send us that, can you send us also the, I think we presented 2 months ago, 3 months ago, a timeline of where we are and all that.
Oh,
and
sure.
So
yeah.
I keep trying to put it on the Google Docs, but I can't find the most updated one. So
Google Docs.
Yeah.
So can you send that, and then we can bring, I can easily pull that up every meeting, and we can just
sure.
kind of.
Yeah,
all I want to see is in your memo, this item was budgeted for $70,000, and the bid is $69,400.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard because of the reasons you just stated, but if you're moving things around to other line items, I'm fine with it. But it kind of gets to these budgets we were talking with you, Bob. It's like, if I don't see the whole budget, you know, all the time, it's hard to give me three items. For me, I'm not going to have reference to those three items without looking at the whole budget and knowing where they come from. And I know you understand that.
I do.
I don't.
I do, because you know there's going to be a lot of variation on a line item basis.
Right.
There's going to be things that are going to be 100% off.
Jump.
But the integrity is in the total.
Squish them together.
Okay.
So you know what I'm saying? I don't need to know that the blinds were $30,000.
Okay.
That was, all I know is that when we're outfitting things inside, what's the TI, I would call it TI.
All right.
TI is conveyed, because your estimates were, you know, some of them were broad strokes. I understand. So TI, if your TI is, you know, $500,000 for the classrooms, then just start giving, you know, we've used force. You know, it's hard because you haven't bid all the TI out. But
no, but, I mean, basically,
you know, where are we in the
Lincoln and Franklin are, you know, virtually bid out. There might be a couple of very small miscellaneous things.
Right.
So we can give that to you in a little more concise
way. Right. Because for me, I don't want you to do, you know, where somebody all of a sudden sees it. Why is this 100% more? You know, squish TI to TI, squish this to this, and all that. Because then it's a guiding thing for me to see where we're at. Or if you are, you know, if the building costs are coming in at whatever, 200 something square foot, and they're supposed to be less than that, then at least we can see it. If site work came in, you know, 250 G's under budget, then that's where our savings was.
And that's probably what we're going to see across the board, is site's going to be under budget and it's going to be over budget.
I sense it.
Oh, absolutely.
You can see it in the numbers, but
sure.
I can't. But that's my gut telling me.
Yeah.
But in a condensed format, I'd probably.
Okay.
Thanks for telling me, too.
Yep.
Not my gut.
So I also wanted to let you know that we're beginning to ramp up for the construction projects to start. Today, FQC had their folks out. They were installing fencing, construction fencing, and had a trailer placed and so forth. And then we're actually due to begin site work over there this Wednesday, Thursday.
At which site?
At Franklin.
At Franklin.
And then we're going to start same type of process, fencing, site work, and so forth at Lincoln on June 1st. And then we're ready to start that Monday after school lets out. We're going to bring everybody together.
For a non-construction person, what does site work mean when we just say that?
So we're talking, when we talk about site work, we talk about excavation, site utilities, stormwater piping, sewer piping, mass grading, those kinds of things we consider site work.
So truly trying to get the site ready for the main construction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry to show my ignorance on.
Get it ready for building construction.
Building construction. Build your pad up and then your pad's where your building goes.
I got
How are you doing that? Are you putting the fence up? Where's the
Franklin?
So Franklin's in the back, so you're not affecting any of the area. But in Lincoln on June 1st, you're putting a fence up where?
We're getting construction fencing up on June 1st.
In Lincoln, what we're going to do on June 1st, and we're going to go meet with the principal next week.
is we want to go prep the area where the portables are going to go.
Oh,
where
the back.
Where the old portables are. Fine. We need to do some dirt work back there, because then that'll allow us to take the trailers out, the portables from where they are now, and move them back there right in sequence and not wait for that.
Totally understood.
So that's the purpose of that.
Totally makes sense. Are you fencing that area when you prep that?
What we'll probably do is come up with some temporary fencing, some panel fencing. The difficult part about that back there is that's the highway from school to the asphalt play lot and then the grass area where everybody goes to the back to school. So it's going to be a temporary panel type fence back there.
Okay, but it's only for 12 days.
Correct.
Of which only probably
they started today.
Six are school days.
Yeah.
At Franklin.
Yeah.
Franklin. Yeah. Franklin. I understand because it's away from it. I couldn't understand Lincoln, but now I do. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or any comments on the construction projects? Otherwise, we'll get with our presentation. Get on with our presentation with the budget.
The rain has passed.
We still have the canopy issue that we talked about in general, but haven't gotten.
Days like today, you don't need a canopy.
It's raining so hard.
I didn't know what we were talking about.
You can make mention of it. Sure.
I mean, so we talked about this before, the canopies. And about the range in costs associated with our options and whether or not, you know, what everybody's preference was on that. So we put together a real, there's more numbers here than you really need to look at. But
we are numbers, guys.
You know, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Wouldn't give this to any other finance.
But there's also some pictures, too.
Oh, good.
So, for Paul.
Yeah. Hopefully they're big, because right now Paul is struggling seeing anything.
But
I might have to because you can't find them in my office.
There you go.
Thank you.
But basically,
oh man,
we've talked about this before, where we had the as-bid solution, which is just at Forest Glen is $192,000, and then we have these other options. Do we want to go with the scaffold option? Do we want to go with a nice white aluminum canopy option? And so we've attached some pictures of that. But if you go, so you can look at the pictures and kind of get a sense for what the different things look like. So the color white aluminum is just a white canopy with white posts drilled into the concrete.
So when you're doing your pricing, if I look at this, is this what number is this for a letter?
That would be C or D.
C or D.
Yep. The white one is C or D?
Yep.
C or
D. White one is C or D.
And that is temporary?
It doesn't have to be.
Well,
but it's intended to be temporary. But you would, with the item D, you would own that. So if you wanted to take it down and reuse it somewhere, you would.
Did we reuse it at Hadley's? Does Hadley's stink? Or is Hadley's good?
Hadley's are fine.
Okay.
At least I've never received that.
Yeah. How's that bathroom?
They were designed for 150 mile an hour winds, Joe. They better not be going anywhere.
No. All right, so what's the
item? Item B, the interior lobby picture with the scaffold, is intended to reflect the type of pipe that would be used in a scaffold solution.
So that's B.
It's a little bit nicer than a typical scaffold. It's still gray iron, but it's a little bit nicer. Mm-hmm. And then the last picture is intended to, we wouldn't have that big wood facing on it, but essentially.
Is that B2 then?
Yeah, it would look like a construction canopy.
And that's the 140s?
That's 66,000.
Well, for both schools, I think it's 95.
And that's this one, correct? I just want to make sure I'm looking at.
That's 66 grand. And that's both schools. That's what you just said.
So 95.
Both schools are 95,000.
Where do you get 95?
You go to page 3.
This
Sorry. Okay. Go to the third page of numbers, and that'll kind of help summarize it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So if you go with the originally designed canopy, 341, if you go with the rented scaffold on a temporary basis and it looks like pipe scaffold, it's 96. IMS, which is your mobile trailer provider, provided a solution, which is that white canopy where they would sell it to you and buy it back. They can't do a lease because of the short term, and that would be 175. And then we found another provider, which would be the white canopy for 148.
And when does the decision need to be made on this?
Well, we have to have, if we're going to do it, have it up ready by middle of August.
Why? Yeah, why would there be a decision? I think the decision's there, isn't it?
Well, the money-wise, there is.
Well,
the review-wise, there is.
My recommendation is that we go with which I've discussed with Paul. It's a temporary solution, meaning it'll be there for a year or two until we get the portables out of there, and it's the most cost-effective recommendation at this time. My only concern originally was the appearance of these, because we have a long forest going. You're going to have essentially the whole side of the building where our neighbors are going to have to look at that. But after seeing what Jack has brought to the table today, I think that we'll be all right with that.
Well, and remember, you don't need the canopy by law.
Yeah, right, right. Well, I mean, that's option.
So you go to zero.
Positive, right? Yeah.
You go to zero.
Yeah.
I just want to make that known. But
I'm compromising and going.
My comment would be, it's going to be a hard sell. I don't think that's going to be an easy sell.
To
go with the temporary, because you're going to have parents and folks who think that it looks like a construction site.
Well, we're meeting with the village on Wednesday.
It is a construction site. No, I know, but people dress construction sites up a lot, especially when you have existing occupants. At
Forest Glen, I think there's an opportunity to do something on the street-facing side of the canopy to do two things. One is to maybe give it a little better appearance, even if it's as simple as the green fabric fencing.
We could do more than that, though. This is where I'm leaving down the road. I'll be quick about this project. If you get the students or the principals and the teachers, and you partner up with them with your temporary scout, where they're allowed to do murals or other things, suddenly they have ownership. Suddenly a thing that's potential eyesore problem, even though it's temporary, now since they have ownership of it, it takes a lot of the burden off what people are going to say when they drop it. Me, I've seen that. I mean, you've probably seen it. And it's something to me that I think we ought to talk to the principals about, because for your art teacher or whomever, because if suddenly kids are doing nice artwork on the view to the street side of Forest Glen, people aren't going to complain. That kid's art stinks or whatever, you know.
Right.
You're not going to hear those things. You know, people are sensitive.
But I hear you guys saying basically the same thing. We can make it look nicer. At $95,000, we can either put the green fencing along it, or we can do what Joe is indicating of allowing
the green aid site.
It's still a construction site, but I think we need to do something, because we need to visually improve it, but we also need to create a barrier between that long walk and the public along that road. I don't know what the name of that street.
Elm Street.
What is it, Elm?
Elm.
Elm Street. That's, 250 feet of walkway where they're walking right alongside, the public way from the trailers to the school. So it seems to me that we need to put up something to make sure the kids stay on the school side.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
I think so, too.
And if you're doing it at one school, you're doing it at the other.
And when you're looking at the cost, I mean, the cost definitely lean there. But then when I look here at this, I worry about this scaffolding, because it allows kids to... I just see kids climbing this type of scaffolding pretty easily anytime you have... I'm just thinking about kids. I'm thinking about middle school. But you would put that buffering around it so kids aren't climbing on top of it. I'm just thinking we're going to end up with another problem on the weekend.
You have problems with kids climbing on your stuff now.
Yeah.
Well, this is just like this is a jungle gym.
You go to the pole.
We are putting a sign on it. Please come jump on me during the weekend. So just so we're all aware.
You're talking about doing this kind of stuff.
Well, we're going to have to put something up that will allow us to keep
kids
off of the top of it.
You've got to have something that...
Yeah.
Okay.
More like this, less like that, is what Paul's saying.
I like this solution. I mean, if you green it up, you do whatever you want, but at least it's going to slow down the kid's ability to climb all over it and be on top of it.
Well,
I've been around middle school kids way too long.
The one thing is,
and that's what they're
going to do.
I will say this, though. When you go to get
Julie off of it.
When you enclose it, though, you do have other issues.
Yeah,
you
don't want to agree.
So you got to...
I don't think you
want to close it. Yeah, I get what you're saying. So,
okay, thanks. We needed that direction.
$95,000, but make it safe.
Figure.
Yeah.
And what'll be on top of it? It'll be.
What will be on top of it?
Yeah. What's the roofing on top of it?
Just enough to keep water off the kids. It's going to be two layers with probably some sort of either tar paper or plastic.
Okay.
Nice work.
All right.
Do you have a copy of that for our records?
Yep.
Thank you. Here you go.
Here you go.
Give one to Julie, Jim.
All right. So then the second order, our final business item then this evening, is the presentation of the tentative budget. And we know it's not April 28th, but this is the presentation we had originally put together in anticipation of our last meeting. So same numbers, same everything, just didn't get the date changed on this presentation.
So the one is this is exactly the same.
It's exactly the same.
And you, what we have for you tonight are the department budgets that you guys requested.
That's
so we'll add that to the.
But you had that. Is this any different than you had on the agenda?
No.
Oh, because I printed it.
This is not any different than what was on the agenda. This budget document.
That's the same. But what we added to were the department budgets.
Building and department budgets.
And that will be a part of the overall board one once you guys move this forward. We'll be that full piece.
And then I got one more question for you. Because I got an IT budget from Mike that was updated again. Is that updated one revised a third time in what you...
No, as we mentioned during our meeting last week,
yep.
There's going to be a lot of revisions
I'm
going on.
That. I'm good with it.
So just answer
just
the question.
Make sure I'm
looking at the right one.
I'm looking at the one I want to look at.
So tonight, what we're going to do, Bob's going to give a brief overview for about 15 minutes, give you the scope and sequence of the presentation, and then hand it over to board members to ask questions from that point. I think one of the important pieces to reflect back on is on page 2, that philosophy, that board policy around budgeting, around those bigger ideas, around ensuring that we're creating a great educational environment, a safe environment. Those pieces, for me, are really important. So with that, Bob, you want to take us through the presentation?
Okay. So, Mike, could we move forward, please?
I didn't see Mike over there.
I know.
I was talking
about right to the budget document.
I know you, too.
Okay. So, in general, we want to take a look at our revenue. Where does the district get its revenue from? Which we all know and hear about all the time is that we are 86% driven by local property taxes. Taken in conjunction with the other local revenue, we're really talking about 93% of our revenues come from our community. We have funding coming in from in the amount of 6% of our overall revenues from the state, and then 1% or around $700,000 up in the feds. And I do want to make mention of the fact that Paul and I have been receiving a lot of emails over the past couple of weeks about, I won't call them shenanigans, but different things that the state is doing to get creative with how they're going to fund education this next year. And nothing's written in stone. We don't have anything that we can provide to you in terms of a concrete decision. But there's a potential for some significant losses in revenue. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, and we don't know, or if it's going to happen next year. But the conversation is out there. We're aware of it, and we'll keep you updated accordingly.
And what we keep hearing from Lend and other reliable sources is they do not believe there's enough votes to move this forward at this time. But they are going to continue having the conversation about exactly as Bob said, how to fund school districts throughout the state and trying to find some equity for many of the poorer school districts. But for the vast majority, at least within DuPage County, there's only one district, West Chicago, that their formula has any positive impact, and it's quite honestly, it's a fairly minimal impact. Every other district in DuPage County takes a loss on the proposed I think it's Senate Bill 16.
And what's the formula based on what?
They're switching the formula now. There's going to be a significant contributing factor will be low,
poverty.
Poverty concentration. So that's what's shifting the dollars, and they're telling us West Cook, DuPage County, areas right in our area right here that are going to be, that could be significantly impacted in terms of state revenue.
if the proposal went through, and again, what we're hearing is it's not, we could potentially lose up to $1.9 million next month if they somehow chose to move this forward in the next 2 weeks. Their window is closing every day. So we don't believe from our attorneys that
election season. It's not.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's just the start of the conversation. And oftentimes they like to put these things forward to have the conversations the next year.
Well, we've all been residents of Illinois for a long time, and we hear about this frequently. So I just wanted to make
yep.
you aware that there's a potential for a loss of revenue. So then we talk about expenditures. Paul asked me to put together a chart. Bob, what is it? What are our expenditures look like? Well, this is a little bit different. I've got a slide that's going to be up next that's going to show you what's more typical of how we spend our dollars this year because of pumping additional dollars into professional services and construction costs. We're spending 50% on salaries, and that looks like 9% on benefits. So where we usually average something over 70% of our total budget is salaries and benefits, it's now down to 59%. And the balance is spread out between capital equipment, purchase services, supplies and materials. And
but you add a $7 million into our... it skews this.
Yeah, it really... Yeah, when you're talking about a $50 million budget versus $57 million, and all that $7 million is going in construction, it does skew the way your numbers...
That's why we're going to show the next slide.
So this is what we're more typical of, as I stated, approximately 70% going into salaries and benefits. That's what we did last year. So I just wanted to grab a slide from last year to show you what this presentation looked like at that time.
I appreciate this, that 59% slide, but I don't know. Do we need to present that anywhere else? Can we let that one slide?
Because
it's just here.
It's going to be a two-year aberration.
But when this information goes out,
I
and
absolutely
we're in
what you're saying.
Other conversations about other cost conversations.
Yeah.
It's no, we're not. We're only 59 versus.
Yeah. And the other thing we can do is make sure that we put a large statement at the bottom. This is a two-year impact due to this, or we can remove
yeah.
it.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something.
No, I appreciate it.
Good slide, but
be careful with it.
Be careful with it. Yeah.
Okay, Mike. So. We wanted to give you an idea of what your overall, what are your major sources of revenue and your major expenditure categories, how they compare with the final budget for 13-14, as well as the tentative budget for 14-15, the dollar value of the change, as well as the percent of the change. And I did want to highlight that it's the 13-14 final budget. It is not the amended budget because that hasn't been approved. I'll update this once mm-hmm. that gets approved. So overall, you know, property taxes went up $986,000. Other local revenues went up as a result of interfund transfers that we're going to be having for the construction projects. Overall, revenues went up $1.5 million. We did something a little bit different this year. Maury was good enough to go into our Skyward software system and do a lot of work with salaries and benefits. So we took our actual employee plan and we rolled that forward with estimated what we believe will be the increases for salaries, or what we approximate the increases will be for salaries. And then we already know what our benefits are going to come back at. We're getting a reduction in PPO, very small reduction in PPO, HMO worry again,
down
1%, and then dental's about even. So you see that when we roll this employee plan forward through Skyward, our salaries are about even with last year, a small reduction. Our benefits are about even a small reduction. Where we're starting to see a significant increase in expenditures will be in purchase services as a result of budgeting for FQC and FGM.
Was that in the deck? Is this? I don't remember this slide in the deck.
It's what we posted last.
We had last.
Meeting.
Okay. All right. I can just pull it. Okay.
Because the numbers are identical, right?
Yeah. Right. Right.
Okay. And
then
it's not a bit different. Didn't want to point out.
It wasn't the one I printed out.
Oh.
Paul brought the cabinet together over a series of meetings back in January and February, and we spent a lot of time going back and forth and reviewing and making comment on each other's budgets. I know Karen has taken about a $208,000 hit with a number of the budgets that she has seen with regards to supplies and materials. So overall, the district is reducing its expenditure for supplies and materials by $276,000.
Yeah, just on a side note here, this is where we're going to be paying for the PBL coaches. Just so when you have connect this conversation to the one in the full board meeting, Karen's and I don't have a large budget, but both of ours were reduced. Hers was reduced a heck of a lot more than mine. But that's where we're paying that ongoing cost for those PBL coaches. And I know that's really an important piece for our finance committee members as to how are you financing this. That's exactly where we're financing it from.
So then we have capital projects. Here's about a $7.1 million increase in capital projects. Other dues and fees. This $551,000, when reviewing the budget over the past couple of years, we've experienced a significant increase in our tuition costs associated with special ed, in particular the amount of tuition that we pay for private tuition payments to schools like Glenwood and Little Friends and things like that that you'll see in your book, in your accounts payable listings on a monthly basis, but also fees that we pay to other school districts, District 89, District 16, District 15, whatever. So overall, we're looking at an $8.7 million increase. So this is broken out even with a little greater detail. It's done by the revenues and expenditures by fund. All the numbers, you've got your total revenues going up $1.5 million. You've got your expenditures going up by $8.7 million. And then down here, surplus or deficit. This demonstrates the surplus or deficit in each one of the funds. That is the revenues minus the expenditures. So we're pretty healthy in education. O&M is still, we have quite a bit of funds allocated there for purchase services as a result of the construction project, so that is something that can change over time. Transportation, to me, still is a bit of a concern. We're not hearing a lot of positive things out of Springfield. Last year, I think we got $25,000, roughly $25,000 from the state of Illinois for regular student transportation and about $400,000 a year for special ed and so we're gonna be anxiously seeing where these numbers come out in the next 45 days because the fiscal year ends June 30th. You've got your IMRF, your retirement funds, your capital projects, working cash, TORT, total deficit just over $7 million. So what does it look like across all of our funds? And then broken down by what I call programs. So this is the revenue side. This is what we expect overall for revenue of $51.5 million. And then what does it look like? This is again a continuation of local revenue. And then we have state and federal revenue included in. Okay, Mike? And so what does it look like in terms of federal revenue? This is the expectations of where we would receive some of our federal revenue. And again, it's $754,000 out of a $51 million budget. So not a lot, but you've got $200,000 in the National School Lunch Program. Title I is $215,000 and so forth. I don't need to read those for you. But the total, again, is about $754,000 in federal revenue with about $3 million from the state. So now we look at the expenditure side of the equation. And what we do is we have the function codes are listed over here on the right side of this document. And this is how we keep track of which function, which area, which department has a responsibility for. And then we spread those expenditures across salaries, benefits, personal services, supplies, materials, equipment, and other objects. So the next few slides really just run through all the expenditures here. There's 2310, that's the Board of Ed. We put $817,000 in that function code. And then we just run through Ed and O&M and all the various funds. and expenditures for all funds is approximately $58.6 million.
I'm sorry, what is other objects?
Other objects is tuition payments, dues and fees, anything that I can't fit in one of these objects here or one of these objects here goes in there.
And that's all determined by the state. Those are state decisions,
well,
to saying what goes into it.
What goes where?
Yeah.
And it's entirely run by the state. And, you know, we govern or we do our financial accounting based upon the Illinois Program Accounting Manual. And it's used to perform a comparative basis or analysis. So, you know, when you go to ISB, the state website, or the Illinois Report Card site, you'll see commonality. So you can determine, hey, how much does this district spend on tuition payments? How much does that district spend? So it's pretty consistent across the board in terms of where we're required to identify our revenues and expenditures. Okay. Fund summary. This is a document that I prepared. These documents here actually mirror the document that I used to prepare the state budget document. And so this is just a recap of, in terms of where we're at. I did want to mention, you'll see the $7,078,000 in capital projects up in that top line. We received that $7 million back in March after we closed on that borrowing program. So that has already been incorporated in there. And as we move through this budgeting cycle, I will also be updating the budget, which will show approximate $7 million in fund transfers from probably will be the education fund and the working cash fund into the capital projects fund so we can meet all of our obligations for the construction projects. Paul asked me to put together a slide in terms of what are your revenues and expenditures by fund. This is a chart. So we just wanted to demonstrate what it would look like. Revenues on the left, expenditures on the right, and how that looks when demonstrated in the form of a chart. And here is our tentative budget. And this is, Paul asked me to put together a presentation done by a functional analysis, which are the function codes on the left there. How much did we budget in 2013-14, and how much did we budget in 14 and 15, and what is the difference, the resultant from year-to-year comparison. So this, really the next several sheets just demonstrate what has been saved or increased accordingly by, as I say, function code.
And at the end of the day, when you're done, Dean, I'm going to give you credit for this, but when you, because Dean brought up a budget versus actual, at the end of the day, when we're looking at the 2013-2014 budget, at the end, you spent all those monies, or did they?
At the end of the 13-14 budget?
I mean, was the actual, well, when I go down and drill down to your departmental stuff, or your, you know, where I started looking at this because you gave us this, and I went through the, first one I went through is the building and grounds, because I've already been through the technology, so you're gone, Mike, I'm gone. So, moving the building and grounds. What are the actuals for electricity?
We haven't finished the year yet. You won't see that till July or August.
Okay.
You'll get a.
Is there anything you know of in there that was outside of the professional fees? Anything else that you saw any spikes as we're
seeing? Well, sure. The purchase services for construction related.
But outside of that, would it have been the
snowplow
building? That's where I was.
Well, we've had expenditures come in for that. You know, we'll be doing that analysis work, and when it comes to a building or a department, theoretically, we're not supposed to be able to expending our budget, but it does happen, especially in BNG where I've got to keep the buildings open. I'll give you another example. With the weather that we had, we're seeing the cost for energy come in at sometimes 25 to 30% greater than what was originally budgeted or what we expected to budget. We've been pretty fortunate over the past couple of years and have come in under budget for gas and electric, but this year we think we're going to come in heavier. But you're going to see an analysis. Well, we're not going to meet in July, but we will meet in August, and you'll see the year-end work that's coming through.
Okay. It's just critical when you're looking at next year's budget, if you're comparing it to a budget, and this year's budget has large variances.
What did last year do?
Like, well, should I really be looking at a budget? Because the variances mean so much to projecting the next budget. You know, it's usually where you focus on. Why was there a variance? Do we expect the variance this year? Or do we expect to go down because it was capital purchases and we're not going to make those this year? So,
well, you know, when I'm developing a budget, obviously it's based upon hard numbers, but it's also based upon trends that I've seen occur.
Right.
Across the
number. More than 1 year, 2 year, 3 year.
Yeah. Right. So my mind is, I'm constantly thinking, okay, all right, purchase services in the O&M fund, they were this much this year, mm-hmm. the year before. How much have they been increasing over the past couple of years, and do I expect that trend to continue? Really, like when you talk about the building and grounds department, it's really a function of the age of our buildings. You know, I just told Paul we had a lightning strike over the weekend, and it's a $17,000 bill that we really don't have a choice in spending. We need it blew out all of our fire panels at Franklin School this past weekend. Just different things like that. We had a heck of a winter for gas and electric. Snow removal was about $75,000 this year, where it was maybe $25,000 if that last year. So there's a lot of different variables in give and take that are right, together with that budget.
I get that. And you start seeing it in your breakdown. I mean, Mike's budget had it. You know, he goes out all the way to 2020-something, and you know, he doesn't need to buy computers every year or this or that. So you kind of start feeling
it's more fixed.
Yeah, when I'm reading this, there's less. I don't see that, you know, because
you're not going to see that in
I'm not seeing actuals. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I expect certain things to be higher.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, around building and grounds.
Yeah. Sure.
But I'm not sure your building and grounds have that. So. Okay.
Mike, you want to continue?
Dean, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. I'm wondering, it seems as though when we have this discussion, a lot of good stuff comes out of it, and it's hard to get it from the numbers, and I know you put this stuff together for the state and different things you have to do to file a budget. Is it appropriate, do we file any kind of, you know how like a company has an annual report?
Sure.
Yeah.
Do we have something that will explain these things?
Sure, we file. Our auditors come in, and they're going to be here the last week of June, and they'll start doing their interim work, and then they'll be back in August to complete that work. And I believe you were on the board when you seen the comprehensive annual financial report.
That's yes. So what I'm wondering is, do we ever do any kind of summary that we can make available to the public that would say, you mentioned salaries a minute ago, and you said, look, the salaries really aren't going up. They're kind of staying flat or whatever, the salaries and benefits. It'd be interesting to have a summary there that said the reason this is this way is we've done these three things that affected that the most. And then, you know, so that you can use it as a document to communicate what are we doing. And then you brought up the fact that we have the PDL coaches. So we don't want to have a number coming down and letting people think that we're lowering the expense. If later on we're going to put something else back in there and change it. You know, we're going to do PDL coaches. That should probably be added to the salaries then at that point. And maybe they are already.
When we get to the point, as I've explained to the committee and hopefully to you, you know, this is an ongoing process.
Yes.
I will continually revise and update the budget May, June, July, and then come August, you're going to see a final budget. So there will be revisions. I don't like to do them.
There's a financial stewardship page in his budget that he presented. He didn't show it.
Okay.
But that's some of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, we have a
that's the sales, the communication that we need
right.
to do.
And that's right, what you said, too.
Yeah,
that's what we have in those first few pages. Because the committee really believes, and I think it's an important one, that all this work has to be tied to our vision, our mission, what we do on a daily basis. The money matters, but it matters that we're spending it according to the vision mission of this district, and then highlighting other pieces of our work. So I absolutely agree, and we could add more summary to it.
Well, I think what's important here is, unlike Drew, Patrick, and myself, we get lost in these numbers, but we enjoy them. Most people don't.
They don't.
And those first seven pages you have is what you need to use as your marketing materials for what a good job you're doing.
And why we're spending the money in the manner we're spending
exactly.
the money. And why the board's allocating the money.
But I see Dean's point, though. I mean, those pages are really more, they're much more high level, whereas I think what Dean's talking about is kind of a, more of an analytical piece about this changed this and affected that. You know, kind of a, you know, like you say, annual report is probably not the right term, but it's something to basically toot our own horn on a level that people can appreciate and
I could see something along of a narrative that would go after those first pieces of saying this is where we're at, but I would do it in a few paragraphs because you got to be really concise with this, and you got to let people know why ultimately.
Sure. There's some big areas.
There are some big areas.
You know, salaries. We want to talk about salaries, and you want to talk about the fact that you hold it constant, and we know that there's an increase in the contract. That means that you reduce headcount, and you should get credit for reducing headcount.
You were talking about transportation, you know.
Yeah.
That, again, that's a huge.
No,
buckets that we could explain.
Well, what you're talking about is if I open up an annual report, the chairman gives me a nice letter, and then after that letter are charts and little things. It's
right.
All the glossy stuff.
Right.
And that's where most people stop.
And yes, they do.
I go right by that.
Hence, 2 weeks ago.
What the chairman says is usually gets repeated in all the talk shows.
I'm very comfortable with that.
That's what we should
very
do.
Comfortable with that.
But I think Dean's point is, you know, that's the why piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
We're communicating why it through visuals. We're communicating through other ways. But let's just put a narrative together, a very brief narrative on the big points.
Yeah,
very good with that. I think it will just help the overall budget, how we're doing the budget and the packaging of the budget a little bit better.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay, so Paul asked me to include how are we spending our money this year? It's actually for the 14-15 year. We're spending 70% on direct instruction, 21% of support services, and then COSO has about a 9% contribution there, that with salaries and benefits.
Bob, what support services?
Everything that does not have direct instruction, your custodians, you know, those aides and
ground, buildings,
correct.
All of those pieces.
Yep.
I just want to make sure.
And that's the AFSCME piece.
Well, it's AFSCME and others.
Okay.
AFSCME and others.
The majority there.
I can't say that for sure, but you know, there's a lot that makes up that number. Okay, and that's it for the actual budget presentation.
So that's that large overview. And what we'll add next time into the budget is the department piece that we gave you here. But we really wanted to make sure we got to the piece that we wanted to 2 weeks ago. So you saw that broad, overarching blush at it, but then what we did was print off, and again, this will be part of the full budget, these department budgets. So those are there for you as well.
So I wanted to tell you about, we did something much different than what we've done previously. When it came to our building budgets, we used a per student allocation. So Paul asked me, he says, Bob, what is a typical expenditure? You know, how much have we spent previously with regards to the buildings? I gave him a number, and that number that we're using for this presentation here is $140 per student for all of the elementaries. Now, I will tell you who made it a significant reduction in spending this year was Hadley. They were up about $180 per child. That was not only the building level budget itself, but also interscholastic expenditures were outside of that $180. So Steve, the principal here at Hadley, when he went in and did his budget this year, I gave him $145 a child to use for just the Hadley budget. And then we still budgeted some additional money on top of that. Last year it came in about $220 a student. So now it's about $185 a student, which is the building budget plus the interscholastic activity. And I think it came out, Steve reduced his expenditures in the building by about $30,000. So that's something that we've done much differently than we've done previously. And I think it was a good process. And this is something we'll continue to use as we move forward in in the future. So what you have in front of you here are what I thought were the, you've got your building budgets first, and then you've got departmental budgets, and then other items that we spent a significant amount of money on. I thought I would do some work and provide you some insight in terms of what those program costs were, so things like transportation, food service, and things of that nature. So, you know, I have the Lincoln budget, Franklin, Hadley, and so forth. I'm open for questions, or we can walk through these sheets, basically whatever you're more comfortable with.
What's the goal? At the end of the day, we got these. And you want questions from us specifically on these, or guidances? Or
well, I just want to be able to answer any questions that you may have as we move through the budgeting process. How did we arrive at a number?
It helped me.
Yeah, I think it's part of that picture that you guys wanted to see. How do all these pieces make our whole?
Right.
And without having the department and school budgets, I thought we were leaving a pretty big chunk of that conversation out for you. Again, for the school budgets, we really looked at a per pupil allocation as opposed to just a general lump sum, because it should be a little bit different based off of your student population. But we really felt like, as Patrick said, it's more information for you. And on the department side, I think it was, again, I felt it was important to be able to show the cuts, especially in the teaching, learning, and accountability department as it relates to PBL coaches or anything else that was coming from it, to see that there were some pretty big, significant cuts.
A couple things jump out at you, you know, so to me it's like...
overview.
One thing is just on the transfer to other funds for the building and grounds, there's $600,000 in there.
Yeah, that's for the... When I made a commitment to fund the capital projects through ongoing operations, that will be a transfer annually from the O&M fund into the debt service, because due to the Illinois Program Accounting Manual, I cannot pay things that are used to pay off debts of the district. I have to pay them through the debt service fund. So that the transfer out of the O&M, it will be a transfer into debt service.
Do you
when
expect
we make
that every year, then?
Well, I'll do that every year as long as we have those... Yes. The debt certificates for the project, which is
so
the next 15
always,
years.
Will it always come out of the building and grounds fund?
It could come out of any fund.
You can prepay that.
Yeah.
People want to prepay that.
So. Understood, but let's worry about this year.
So, it can go into
that's
any.
That's the fund. It's always, you're always going to be making that transfer.
Well, I have to make a transfer, whether it be O&M or Ed or wherever it comes from, it
so
has
it
to be paid.
It may be somewhere else. That's
it could,
right.
It could come out of another fund.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
Okay. Could it?
We'll probably be consistent.
Yeah, when we created the covenants for that agreement, it just says that it would be paid for out of existing operating funds. It's not subject to a tax levy.
And there's just one other general thing, and I want to go over these budgets again, one cursory review and then a kind of a more fun view for me, just get into the numbers. I may have more questions. But with the portables, ultimately, we're replacing many of them, 16 of them. I'd like to see a cost savings analysis.
Well, you have what we pay annually for
right.
the portables in the budget document there now.
Yeah.
And I have a meeting, I think, Wednesday afternoon with IMS, who supplies our portables. So I'll have a good handle in terms of what leases are going
on. At the end of the day, I like the little chart. Here's what we're doing. These guys are filming here for 2 years, and then boom, this is gone. So we know what that is. Is it $188,000? You may miss something because you forgot that the electricity there is temporary and that bill goes in. But eventually I want a chart that says this has left the budget because we don't have to operate the portals. Clearly we have to still heat and cool and do all the good stuff. I don't think it's cool. We have to put the lights on in the in the new classrooms. There's some cost efficiency for that. So I'm just trying to, when I look at that budget and I see all those portable costs, it reminds me of the savings we're ultimately going to have.
Yeah, we have about $150,000 a year in portable costs. And the only reason it's only $150,000 is because we own half of them or a major. A large portion of the 30 that are still out there, we own. So you know, it would be a much bigger number if we had been leasing the whole thing.
And there's still costs associated with the ones that we own.
Yeah.
So I got a few questions, Bob.
Sure.
In our budgets, in our data that you gave us, it says district will complete some of these budgets.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I could have just left that out of there. I guess I just.
Yeah, but it raised a question. So are those numbers not included in your 14-15 budget?
They're included in my 14-15 budget. They're not included in the
They're
building.
They're just not allocated.
They're not allocated to the building. And what it is,
right.
is the building does not have responsibility
right.
to manage those numbers.
So, okay, so I was looking for that in our departmental expenditure comparison because I was looking for those numbers. And so you're telling me they're buried in page 12 through 14 somewhere?
They're in there.
So one of the pieces that it's really hard with it because of how the Illinois code is, Bob has to put the numbers in certain codes operating functions which don't directly align with our department
budget. That's fine. I just, you know.
So you will see things crossing over quite a bit.
When you have
to give you an example.
Blanks and then you're going, we're doing. That's all I needed. I don't want
to
get into too
much.
Okay. Because if you looked at the second page for Lincoln and where it says sub-salary, professional development, TRS, those are all district-level functions.
Okay.
They're not building
numbers. So, Bob, show me where we're paying our assistant vice presidents.
Where is principal.
Principal.
And where is that money coming from?
That is in
from 2013.
Code 2410.
You're not getting my question.
Okay.
We said that we were going to pay $200,000 for 2.5 assistant vice presidents this year, and we were going to impact the budget. What went down $200,000 from 2013?
Oh, was one of them because one transferred to CSO.
Right.
So we stayed expense neutral. We need to find that.
For 180.
One FEP. Right there. Where is that in the budget? That's what we want to know.
I'm with you.
I know where it's budgeted.
So
where
what
did
we did.
Because, like you said, 200 for 208. Thanks, Karen.
You can see that.
It's right there. For your PBLs.
Yep. But where did the assistant principals come from? So what was taken from a year ago was a contingency fund for overstaffing at this higher student numbers than anticipated at the building levels. So we had a contingency account for those, and that piece was reduced. The previous year.
Is that contingency held the same as the reduced amount now? Or is that contingency higher back to where it was before?
So we included three into that category for it. Prior to that, there were four. So we had a savings there, and then the reduction from my account continued that savings.
So Lori is
because my savings, I had over $30,000 in mine.
So if I could summarize in my, my lingo. So back before we hired back those assistant vice principals, we don't have presidents.
Yeah.
In assistant principals.
An assistant principal. Thank you. The assistant principals. There you go. I don't get it, Gary. All right. We had three, whatever you call them.
Three in the contingency account.
In the contingency account. One went away. So we went down to two.
Mm-hmm.
So now we moved all things around and to Karen. We now have two become zero in that account. Is that what you're saying?
So let's go back to the first piece.
Yes.
The first one is we had a person from the CSO.
Yeah,
right.
We're good with that.
But what you got to remember is that was a higher cost than a teacher cost as well. So it wasn't just a one. It wasn't as clean as a one for one.
Okay.
So there was some leftover from that.
Okay, so I'm fine with that. So
okay.
If we
and
had
then you
three,
had.
If we had
then
three,
you take
we went
one,
to 3.2. Then we're
then
down,
you take
to,
one
we're down to 2.2. So we're down to 2.2, and now you guys readjusted the budgets for the coaches.
To allow for those pieces.
And we're down to 0.2 is in that contingency, or that contingency.
So remember, we didn't take two from that contingency.
Oh,
we took it from Karen's budget. She literally reduced her budget by 200
okay, so
and...
I'm co-mingling.
Not, yeah, you're co-mingling.
Okay, let's not do that. So then, now when we look at the 14-15 budget, what does that contingency have in it?
Two.
So we took it out of there again.
So we're being consistent with you from what you asked for a year ago.
So when we get to the that was the same thing we said last time when they did it that way. We said,
well, we went from three to two.
Right.
And
in the contingency,
to pay for it again,
we're doing
we should go two to one.
because you're...
Because we still get the same savings, though.
Yeah, it's still the same, right?
I mean, you're still still have a zero net increase.
Put a number on it, right? You didn't increase your contingency. If you did, then you wouldn't have. You pull that out. Call that line item. Call it landscaping. Or whatever.
Right.
Looking at landscaping. So I call it that. Yeah. It's $300,000. Last year we made landscaping $200,000. Well, this year landscaping again is $200,000. So we
and remember, my budget was also cut. By
but not for the principal.
But
not
20.
Not for the
no.
Yeah. Well, let's say, we agree with the PBL coaches. That's that's apples and apples.
Well, somebody's going to have to put that in a pretty picture because that's.
We want
to make sure that's
the same picture we didn't have last year.
Yeah.
And it's the same picture, though, I wrote for you earlier when you brought it back up.
Right.
That's exactly how we paid for it then.
We're
moving that thing. That same philosophy continues to move.
We're not done with the year yet. What have we got?
As we move into next year.
We dipped into the contingency for snow plowing and for...
Not that type of contingency.
No, we just...
That's a salary contingency?
Yes.
Did we use the rest of the salary, or have we? Are we still using the...
Yeah, we added staff. And
our board's going.
Yep. Those two pieces that we brought to you. So it is important that you have a contingency for additional staffing. And we're going
to
continue that because that's good.
Because it was three, now we're two, and we're staying at two.
Yeah.
And two got used somewhat when we approved those extra coaches.
One point, whatever it is.
Right.
It wasn't an overall two. But.
So did you feel any sacrifices with that budget, that contingency going down?
Yeah, we had to say no to principals. When principals ask us for additional staff, and they do, we have to say the well is dry.
Here's where you're at.
Yeah.
This is where you did it.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's a good leading question. So absolutely. We've got to say, we have a contingency of this.
Mm-hmm.
We've just spent it on exactly what Lori said. So we're down to a point two or four, whatever it is.
And when you sell it, it's what I didn't do with it, because that's the priority change. You made a priority
for
an assistant principal to not doing these things.
Yeah.
And now we'll get it out. And at the end of the year, you can see it. Now that the game's over, I know how many hits, errors, and runs we got. You can see what it did.
And that's a piece that we're bringing to our and we have been bringing to our principals around some other cost, mainly around aids and other things that we're starting to have conversations.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's
only this much in the pot, and I can't go below that pot anymore.
All right. So
to me is the pain that we felt is when we have to look over at our. And they go to Lori and Karen most of the time and say, hey, we need this additional teacher for this, that, or
so
the
my
other.
Next kick the can question is student fees.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect timing coming in Sam walks.
Oh, jeez.
He gave me the wink of the nod. He gave me the wink of the nod.
All right, you lost him.
That was a setup.
So $462,000. I mean, we always said, let's talk about it next year. Let's talk about it next year. We're here.
Yep.
Right? Like Bob was saying, $462,000 out of $37 million in revenue. Right.
And that's all of it.
That's
$51.5 million in revenue.
Correct.
Right. All right. I'm going to ask the question. Can we find $462,000 in expense savings?
But when you say that, those fees are broken up. There's activity fees in there, too. And I think last time we talked, both you guys said, Sam being in the audience here, you weren't going to attack activity fees because those were more or less paying or subsidizing
the coaches.
So the coaches and all that. Although it was at like a 1 to 19 ratio.
It's like $30,000
on
those fees.
It's 1 to 19.
So
are you saying you want to go after that $30,000?
I don't want to split hairs, but let's have that entire conversation and say, and then throw 30 on if we're going to do that.
I'm splitting hairs.
Yeah, but I want to have the conversation. are we going to say $462,000? We're still going to use it because this is the time we need to have that conversation, not when we vote on it in February and March.
Right. Well, there's three times. There's the budget, there's the levy, and then there's
right. But that's what I'm saying. So I want to have that conversation.
The fees that we approved were for what year?
Next year.
1450.
Right. So 14, we approved them for next year.
Yeah, right. Those are already approved. So, but Patrick's right. We don't want to get to April of next year and allow this thing to get ahead of ourselves.
So it's not part of this budget?
No.
So we got to have that conversation next fall.
You need to have that conversation in September and October. So you tell us, as we're getting ready to do those budgets, saying, mm-hmm. Board has voted on this to say, we are removing X amount of dollars from your budget, Paul. You need to find out how are you going to make that happen.
Right.
So this is a good time to bring it up, but September, October, board has to make a decision and give us direction in September and October, and quite honestly, not much later than that.
We should have put that on the survey.
Okay. So how much time do I have? 15 more minutes?
Five minutes. I still need to try to run out any
Bob,
glasses.
Can you explain to me 1225 BCE, how we went from 409,000 to 717,000, a 75% increase?
That has to do a lot with the work that Lori did behind the scenes for salaries and benefits. What we used this time is we used the power of our Skyward software system, and that allowed us to perfectly align salaries and benefits with the programs that are in place. I know Lori and her team has spent significant time making sure that every teacher that's in early childhood or every teacher that's in regular education or another type of expenditure, she made sure that those salaries and benefits align with the function code that those teachers are associated with. So you'll see some overages in one year, you'll see some underages in other areas, of other functional areas.
So all we did here is just reallocate it from other buckets? So there's, you're telling me
what,
that...
What we did is we made sure that there was an accurate allocation amongst the function codes. So if we have teachers that are assigned to early childhood in our system,
right.
We make sure
these are.
But what I'm saying is, 308. We have a $308,000 increase. But what you're saying is somewhere in all these negatives, the $308,000.
That's correct. That's correct.
Well, that's good and it's bad because I thought we were seeing a lot of positive with a lot of negative.
Yeah.
A lot of good news with the negatives.
But the nice piece with how we're doing the budgeting now is
they are
actuals. I mean, it is a lot of hard work on Bob and Lori to ensure that we know, but we know every person's salary for next year. That includes the increases that the board approved, the 3% and all those. We know exactly what it's going to be and not a guesstimate.
Yeah, and the other thing is for trending, you want to see it more than this 2 years.
So you do.
Go back 2 years. And
we have to wait for 2 years with our new way of doing it.
Gotcha.
That's going to be the important piece.
Next year will be a good reflection.
It is. Because you're going to be able to say, wow, we're spot on with our numbers, and we're starting to see a trend here, and what you will see is a 3% trend. Because you've approved that for your budget.
But you also may see the allocation of departments, too.
And you may see also retirements starting to play
out.
Larger factor over time. In the next couple of years, what does retirement start doing for us?
We've talked about significant retirements over the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years.
And I would say one more minute.
Okay. So, all right. So I got. So I should I just write all these variance questions given to you, Bob?
And then.
Okay. So here's one. Homeless went from 0 to 55,000. Page 14. Did we decide to buy some homeless?
No. This is a conversation that we had, that we started at the finance meeting last year. This is a relatively new expenditure, the choice routes and the...
this is the transportation stuff?
I believe that homeless is the transport. That's pretty
it's
probably the transportation fund. It just wasn't budgeted for previously,
so
but you still had to pay the money.
So it was somewhere else.
It was. And what we're trying to do is make sure...
It's actually very accurate.
And it's actually got to be... More than.
Well, it's going to be more.
Yeah.
What I've tried to do is be, you know, 5 years ago we used to budget expenditures for, let's just say, regular transportation, special ed, and, you know, after-school activities. Well, I've tried to be a little more definitive in terms of what are those overall expenditures going for. So I break them up as an example. Regular transportation, special ed, what are your choice routes costing you? What is your homeless transportation cost? Costing you, things of that nature.
So, Bob, since I have 30 seconds left before we return, with our budget changing, it looks like I'm looking at page 15 here, the double line on page 15. We're up to $8.7 million difference in last year's budget and this year's budget, right? $7 million is related to capital costs.
$7.9 million,
nearly $8 million. So that leaves us about $807,000 difference from last year, which is awesome, which is really good. Adding 807 plus 402 on our student fees brings us about $1.2 million. Can you give me a number of, out of those expenses that are non-negotiable, out of those expenses that we're not tied to by contract, teacher salary, ASVE salaries, all that other stuff, what would it take for a across-the-board cut on all of those other items to get to $1.2 million savings? So we could go budget to budget, flat.
You're about $14 million. So just call it $1.4 million, it's 10%. The non is about $14 million.
Yeah, non is about...
We had this conversation. It's about...
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
Okay. It's about $14 million.
The other things are 14, and you got building and grounds is 2.something, technology is 2.
So across the board cut in those non...
This is about 8.8%.
So to go flat budget to budget, we'd have to ask you to... cut 10% across the board.
Unfortunately, transportation's in there, and that's going up. So
yeah, you'd have to take that
there's
out.
There's some you just can't.
And tuition payments.
Tuition. So I think we narrowed that down to about $7 million you can go after. And now you're at, almost 15% cuts.
All right. I got more questions, but
okay.
On Thursday's meeting, I do want to thank Mike. He took time. He invited me to come meet with him. He put together what I think is a very detailed budget. I did share it with you guys. So thanks, Mike. It was nice to get the invite to meet with you. I do want to let you guys know we're not one to one where every student has their own unit, although we will be at Hadley next year. But when you start adding the number of units that are out there, we're actually better than one-to-one. They're just not, this is my unit. Mm-hmm. There's over 3,600 units of either notebooks or iPads or, Apple iPads versus, the HPs and all that. So he's got it broken down. It's pretty good, and I think that's something we should make sure.
Celebrate.
I mean, people don't know that we have that much technology out in the classroom. Yeah. So
some people say we have too much.
Some people say we don't have enough. We don't have enough.
Too much screen time.
Yeah.
Maybe we have enough, but we don't have the right allocation. So then I start getting into an allocation. But, Mike, thank you very much for the time you spent with me on Thursday. I appreciate it.
So I did.
All right.
We will end this evening's meeting. I did also want to mention that we will not have a finance meeting at the next board meeting, prior to the next board meeting, May 27th. I will be, family commitment I need to make. So that is it for this evening's finance meeting. If you have any questions, give me a call or send me an email.